Today on Real Radio.
Have you walked by a hospital waiting room lately? And see the families in there grieving or scared or terrified or in doubt? Pull on in there. You've got more hope hidden in your heart and more Bible in your soul, and they may be sitting there with nothing. And they need you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? As we're coming close to the conclusion of this collection of studies, Pastor Jack's delivering a mini-series called Keeping Your Focus. Now, the life transforming that occurs when we receive the Son of God changes the way we see things. Our worldview shifts from an earthly worldview to an eternal worldview. In other words, we begin to see things from a perspective of eternity, keeping our eyes on the prize, as they say. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses now in his study called Keeping Your Focus.
In Matthew 4:18, it says this, Now Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he, Jesus, said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. What a great statement. As believers, we want to stay close to Jesus Christ. To walk in the same shoes is what that word follow means. To walk in the same shoes, to walk in the same steps, we would use today the word to mimic. You see a little child maybe walking, maybe it's a little girl, and she's walking around the house wearing her mommy's high heels, playing dress up. Think about that as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus. It's absolutely essential that we are to stay focused in these last days and that we're to be persevering after Christ. If we set our... Listen, are you single tonight? Listen to this. If you set your sights on Jesus, you won't have to worry about your singleness. Are you going through a rough marriage? Set your sights on Jesus. Draw near to Him and God will take care of the rest. Are you waiting for your spouse or your friend or your fiance to change? Forget it. Keep your eye on Jesus. And watch what he does in your heart. And then, by the way, at the end of the day, if your fiance who you're engaged with or you're thinking about asking that person, if you're not impressed with their Christianity, then maybe it's time to cool that relationship. You say, what do you do if you're married? Get on your knees, fast and pray, and ask God to intercede. By his amazing power, he will intervene and begin to rescue that marriage. God is good. Listen, he believes in marriage. Drawing close to Jesus, you can never lose. When there's men who come to me, and I don't counsel women when it comes to marriage stuff. When men come to me and they say, Pastor, my wife left me. What do I do? I say, there's only one thing to do. And they're thinking, chocolates, flowers. No. There's only one thing to do, I tell them. Get as close to Jesus as you can. And if your wife continues to decide to leave you, then let her know that she's leaving the greatest man of God she's ever seen. Because win, lose, or draw, follow Christ. There's no other place to go. Follow him. It's vital. So we're to follow him in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The birth of the church, an awesome thing here. Acts 2:42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfast. Listen. Number one, in the apostles' doctrine. Number two, in fellowship. Number three, in the breaking of bread. And number four, in prayers. Drawing close to Jesus, Christian, listen. Number one, be immersed in the doctrine of God's word. That is the Bible. The Bible. Study it. Yes, come to Bible studies. God has commanded us for us to gather corporately. But study the Bible on your own. See, what do you recommend? Are you serious? I'll tell you. Your Bible, a pencil, and a blank sheet of paper. I really do. Let God speak to you. I can't think of a greater way for you to learn how to hear God's voice than to read the Bible, have a blank sheet of paper and a pencil, and study God's word. So how do you do that? Ask God, when you read the Bible, what does this mean? And then keep reading. Watch what he does. Hey, our God's alive. We don't have to fill in the gap for him. He's there. The Bible says in 1 John, it's the Holy Spirit that will give us the ability to understand God's word. The doctrine. Number two, the fellowship as being Christians. It means that we are to be together. We're to hang out together as believers. Now, I know in a church this size, we all cannot hang out together. But listen, hang on now. Every one of you who are a Christian needs dramatically to find a friend in the body of Christ. Now, I don't mean after service, walk up to people and say, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? Pray, and then listen, show yourself to be friendly to other people. Get involved in ministry and service. Birds of a feather, what? When Christians are serving, that's a great place to be at for a lot of reasons. I'll talk about more of that in a minute. And then the breaking of bread. This is the act of worship as believers in all that we say and do. If we eat to the glory of God. Church, if we sing to the glory of God. Whatever we do it to the glory of God. And the breaking of bread, that tight, close fellowship. Those are things that God establishes. But you and I have got to be willing. And I know in Southern California, we're so busy going constantly that it's hard for us to determine, I'm going to turn off the TV or get out of that setting and I'm going to go make myself available. And yet that's the greatest thing that you can do. And then look at prayer. Prayer that is both corporate as well as individual prayer. In prayer, there's nothing like prayer that unites a body of believers together. Prayer. Are you involved in a small prayer group? You should be. Why not? Join us for prayer and in one of the prayer services that go on here. Pray. Pray with others. The needs are overwhelming. It is amazing to realize, though, that our passionate pursuits reveal our heart's desire. And drawing close to Jesus, I don't know about you, I hope it's true, but I want to be around people who love Jesus. I need them. I need them. So I'm going to give you a couple of things. Number one, how do we stay close to Jesus? Well, this way, number one is this. We need to love Jesus Christ the most. We need to love Christ the most. You say, Jack, that's too simple. Oh, yeah? Write it down. It's not so simple. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll keep my sayings. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and you do not do the things I say? So, Lord, I want to say to you right now, and as a church collectively, Lord, we love you, we want to love you more, and we want to have that number one in our lives. That's how we are going to flourish as a believer in these days. Also this, listen, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, nevertheless, Jesus said to the church there, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. I love that, the first works. They're so simple. Or else I will come upon you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Jesus said that to a church, an active church, a powerful church, but they had left their first love. Listen, do you remember a time in your life when Jesus had more of a grip on you? Then you've left your first love. Do you remember being more open to what God wants to do? Then you've left your first love. Do you somehow look back at the past and say, oh, I remember when I was, you know, I'd stay up all night talking to my friends about Jesus. Or, listen, if you're not doing that anymore, you've left your first love. The number one question on our hearts and minds should be, Lord, have I abandoned you? And let me tell you this. I'll confess it for you. Every Christian goes through seasons where our love ebb and flows for the Lord. I wish it weren't true. We don't even have to intend it to be so, but we can become so busy. Look, does it not happen in any or every relationship that you know? Don't you have to maintain love relationship, love talk, love everything with the people that you know? When you don't contact people or you don't have interface with people, there's a detachment. Why? Because it causes a coolness or a breeze to blow upon that relationship. It makes it difficult. Also this, how do we stay close to Jesus? We need to listen to what Jesus says. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, listen to this. Now it happened that as they were there and they entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Listen, but Martha was distracted. She must have been from California. Distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her. Can you imagine telling God, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, he had to say it twice, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Where's Mary? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he's saying. And where's Martha? Freaking out in the kitchen, panicking. She's probably got flour all over her face, or her apron's got spaghetti sauce on it or falafel juice on it. And then, you know, she's cooking, and she probably looks over her shoulder. Man, look at Mary. She's just sitting around. Jesus says, hey, there's a time when sitting around is a great thing to do. Why? Because we're to be listening to him. Also this, how do we stay close to Jesus? We need to be where he is. Notice, Jesus is. Where is he? Well, he's everywhere. But where is he moving? What's he doing? Reaching the homeless? Yeah. Where is he? Is he at the hospital? What a ministry to go to the local hospitals around here and to be near the emergency room or the waiting rooms. Have you walked by a hospital waiting room lately and see the families in there grieving or scared or terrified or in doubt? Pull on in there. You go see a friend, see somebody from the church. On your way out, pull on into the waiting room. See if anybody's there. You've got more hope hidden in your heart and more Bible in your soul, and they may be sitting there with nothing. And they need you. They need you. Go where Jesus is. Oh, and this one I like. How do we stay close to Jesus? We need to act like Jesus acts. This is fun. In 1 John 4, listen to this. In 1 John 4:17, the Bible says, love has been perfected among us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Wow. Man. When people look at us, they're supposed to say, yep, I've read the Bible, and I've seen how Jesus acts, and that's how they're acting. When the early church was witnessing for Christ, remember what the Roman leaders said? Hey, we recognize those guys. They must have been with Jesus. Isn't that a great statement? You say, Jack, I don't know if people could say that about me. Well, that's why we're having Bible study tonight. We need to put these things into practice, what we're talking about tonight. This is not some sort of theoretical thing. This is, let's get up and do this. Can I say this? I'm going to say it, even if you say no, but I'm just asking to be nice, get your attention, draw you in, and then say, does anyone in this church or in the church that you attend perhaps need your walk with Jesus? Are you needed? If you're not needed, you're a Christian and you're not needed in the church that you attend? Why? What are you doing? You say, well, Pastor, it's easy for you to say, you're the pastor. Listen, I was serving before I was ever a pastor. The Holy Spirit in us causes us to be consumed with other people. And listen, you don't have to be a big mouth like me to be blessing other people. That's a miracle. Straightening chairs. You know that? See, I don't like to talk to anybody. Straighten chairs. Do the windows. You should see this place after a Sunday service. There's fingerprints everywhere. Think about that. I mean, it's really true. And it's an awesome thing to realize that as a Christian, my life, others need to depend upon me for ministry. You guys, that's a great thing. Are you afraid of that? Don't be afraid of that. We need that kind of commitment. Well, also this, focus on persevering this way. Determine now to stay around other people. We touched on that a moment ago. From the earliest outset of the church, the Holy Spirit sees fit, even today, that God's disciples continue in a state of fellowship with one another. We're to be fellowshipping with each other. Listen, Christian, we need to be careful about who we hang out with and where we go. 1 John 2:18 says, little children, it is the last hour. I love John. The Bible says it's the last time, last days, not John. He says, it's the last hour. He said that 2,000 years ago, so we must be down to the last minute. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made revealed or manifested that none of them were of us. What does that mean? Church, get ready to hear this. A gathering, a church gathering, is something that God delights in. He loves it. Frankly, I'm offended when I hear ministries try to do anything and everything to not mention the word church. Advertisements. Come to our gathering. It's just like not going to church. I don't know how you view that. Maybe you might say, well, you know, that's kind of cool, I guess, trying to reach out to people. Wait a minute. It's the Holy Spirit's job to reach out to people. We can just invite. They've got to respond to his call. Check this out. Are we ashamed of the church? Now, granted, the church has done a lot of stupid things, and it's given itself a black eye by punching itself. There's no doubt about it. But let's remember this before we mouth off against the church and the world. Jesus loves the church. He gave his life for the church. And we ought to carry that among one another. We better be careful about who we hang out with and where we go, because you know what? You are the church, and God loves you, and we're to love one another, and you're to love those that are around you. We are to be around others. You say, Pastor, I love Jesus, but I don't want to talk to anybody. That would be easy. God's not into easy. So, man, I don't get along with Christians. That's because you're family. What family gets along? We're supposed to be with one another. We're supposed to wash one another's feet, either literally or with scripture. Think about that. Well, I don't like being around those people. They drive me nuts. You probably drive them nuts. That's not the point. Where does it say in the Bible? We are to be together. On Sundays, I kind of get a little feel for that. In the foyer, I'm greeting people. And I really would love to know the story, but some people come up to me and they go, hi, Pastor, God bless you, have a great week. And there's some people, I can see it, you can feel it. They're coming and they see me in the foyer and they're like trapped. They know they're in the foyer, they can't go around it. And it's like, what is that? Okay, on Sunday, I think you need to reach out and tackle them. We need one another. It's very true. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, Paul said to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Son of God is among his people. But listen. I'm going to step on some toes maybe. I don't know. Make sure that your fellowship with Christians, that they are godly Christians, not carnal Christians. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, the Bible says there, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will both save yourself and those who hear you. Wow. Persevering among other people. But make sure that your Christian fellowship is truly Christian. It shouldn't be something that pulls you down. I highly recommend you determining tonight to fellowship with other Christians who pull you up closer to Christ. See, man, that sounds legalistic. It's fatherly, biblical wisdom. It's true. In the New Testament, when the church was being generated and going out to the world, it's amazing, the Bible tells us, and it should be true today. I know it's true today. It should be practiced today regarding this. The scripture says concerning a brother or a sister who, for example, is engaged in sexual immorality, the Bible says that the godly Christian should not even eat with that other believer. Did you know that? The Bible says that. Why? Because that person will be convicted by their isolation and repent and come back to Christ, come back to the fellowship. And that's considered radical today. And that's, I think, the reason why the church is so carnal and so maybe ineffective in the world today. The church does not need to come down to the level of the world. The church needs to get closer to Christ. And when that happens, that will pull the unbeliever up. The unbeliever is sick of the world. I believe that. The unbeliever is tired of the world. They don't want any more of the world. They don't understand how to get out of it, but they're sick of it. That's why they keep going from one drunken beer stupor thing to the next thing. They're not happy about it, honestly. Man, they get plastered on Friday, plastered on Saturday. They sleep through Sunday, and then they go back to work with a headache on Monday. And they hate living like that, but they don't know how to get out. I think if the church stood there and said, hey, come up here, like Pilgrim's Progress in Bunyan's great writings, they would rise up. That's going to happen, church, if you and I determine tonight we're going to persevere as believers. It's important. Determine now to stay, listen, determine now to stay in a church. You may not attend this church, that's fine. You may be from some other church, fantastic. Find a church and stay in it. Oh, it's going to get really quiet in here in a second. This is the scourge of the American church today. I got a letter this week from a person who said, if my child is not allowed to serve in this capacity, I'm leaving the church. Can you believe that? Put up your hands. I want church my way. And if it's not my way, then I'm leaving. Think about that. They wouldn't go rob a bank, but they want it their way, and so they threaten the ministry that if I don't have it my way, look, you want it your way, go to Burger King or McDonald's, whoever does that. We are all striving together to have it God's way. And this is so important. You guys, listen. The church is for you and I to be equipped, schooled, raised, brought up so that we might go out into the world and affect the world for Jesus and be so attractive to the world that the world says, I want your Jesus. It's not about us. It is not about us. When we worship, I don't like that worship song. It's not your worship song. That's the second week in a row they sang that song. Jesus likes the song. That's why it was put on the worship leader's heart.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at what Scripture says to the believer about keeping your focus. In fact, that's the title of this mini-series, Keeping Your Focus. It's the last installment of this overall collection of studies called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're coming close to the end of this series, and if you'd like to hear it again for your own review or maybe share it with a friend or someone you love, we've made that real easy for you to do. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, all on one MP3 CD. I'll say that again for you. We'll send you the entire series, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. And all you got to do is call, click, or write. It's that easy. Let's start with our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709, or visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button in the middle of the page there that says Special Offer. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, all of our contact info and all the details on this special offer can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.